Meine Damen und Herren, Ladies and Gentlemen, we have the next speaker in English, and it is Holger Schmuhl. Holger Schmuhl has a diploma in computer science with specialization in clinical information management. I think that's a very nice combination of two interesting areas in our human life, I would say. And he has been 44.5 years with General Electric's healthcare systems, integrator, project manager, and application development manager. Now he is research assistant at the Department of Information Technology and Medical Engineering at the University Hospital in Heidelberg. And I think you will talk right from the practical experience about a comprehensive open information for medical software.
Yes, exactly right. Thank you very much for the kind introduction. Like it was said already, I will introduce to you a comprehensive open information portal for medical free Libre and open source software. But first of all, I have to bring you bad news. So it's really amazing to walk around here and see how many companies are there and how much this field is prospering. But if you look at healthcare, so in the clinical setting, no open source at all is used there. So at least if you take a look at medical applications. So this is what topics I've brought with me. So first of all, I want to start an introduction, so to give you a small insight about healthcare, and then to show you that there are projects, that they are also available through Linux distributions, that there are actually also organizations that are working in this field. Then a few words about the Medflow side, and then also a short outlook. So just to make sure what I mean when I'm talking about medical floss, there's the definition of free software and open source, and I suppose you're all familiar with both. And in my opinion, they all denote more or less the same thing. So most of the licenses that are available in this field are compliant to both definitions. So I prefer to use the term floss, which integrates both terms. And then medical means really not just general software components like LibreOffice, Firefox, Apache, or something like this, really professional software or supporting components that have been designed with the healthcare domain in mind and that can be used in a daily routing of hospitals or at GPs, so the practitioners, the Hausärzte. So when we take a look at the healthcare domain, it's really very specialized also in terms of software. So they have dedicated and substantial communication and information representation standards. There are numerous and diversified terminologies and encoding systems. There are profound legal regulations. Some of you might have already heard about the Medical Devices Act, so that software is also treated like being a medical device. And they also have quite unique requirements regarding the maintenance and availability, as you need 24 hours a day, seven days a week, and the complete year. You need all the software components running and being able to serve the patient data. It's also a dynamic and ever-changing environment concerning the underlying medical knowledge, as it's making progress, and also the regulatory implications change at least every year. And of course, this software is also somehow critical to life. So as the patient data is stored there and something isn't working, at least it can mean some danger for the patient. So now we would assume that our doctors have great software available and that they can just concentrate on the actual work they are supposed to do. They all have to cope with very similar problems. So nearly every workflow is assisted by or based on software. There's a strong cost pressure. I think you hear it quite often in the news that we do not have so much money to really have a great healthcare system. we have also heavy workload because of money problems. The staff is decreasing, and so the remaining people are having a heavy workload. And yeah, I said it before, new requirements constantly arise, and it's also a highly dynamic field of expertise. And we also have, meanwhile, big data, as IT is, meanwhile, since more than 10 years also present in healthcare. And somehow you also need to manage this data, to visualize it, and yeah, make it usable for the people, for the doctors. So now you would assume that there are hopefully great systems in healthcare, but there was recently a survey which was interviewing on one side the GPs, so the yellow line, and the clinical doctors about how satisfied they are with the current software they are having. While the GPs, in general, they were doing okay, but the clinical doctors, they are more below 50% of their satisfaction with current software systems, and these are mainly just proprietary ones. So now, I think at least here in this audience, we start wondering, so what about the collaborative software development and the open and free libre exchange of code and related knowledge and expertise? Well, regarding their professional medical knowledge and skills, the physicians are adhering to this principle since centuries, so they are going on conferences and talking there about new ways about how to treat patients. And so why aren't they doing this also with their software they are using there and making an open exchange? If you take a look at the literature, at least it's good to know that open source has gained more interest. So there's a portal, it's called PubMed, where you can search a database of all the medical literature. And I've just searched there for the keyword open source. So in the year 2000, nearly nobody published there any articles which contained the keyword open source. And it was constantly rising. And in 2011, it was about nearly 600 publications that referred somehow to open source software, so they used open source software to achieve their goals. Now in 2011, I was also able to talk to some IT executives at university hospitals in Germany and Europe. One of the questions I was asking them was, well, tell me the truth. Would you denote yourself more like an opponent or an advocate of open source? And most of the interviewees said, yeah, well, I like open source. In general, I would say I'm an advocate. A few have been neutral, and very few just disliked open source and just said, it will never get into my IT infrastructure. And then I also was asking them, what medical open source software are you using in clinical routine? And all replied, none. We aren't using any open source. Of course, they said, yes, we are using Apache, we have LibreOffice, we have them servers running Linux, but for medical application components, they didn't use any software that was licensed under an open source software license. So, what's the reason? Why isn't it utilized? Is the problem that there aren't any medical floss projects available? I just want to show you some sample projects, as there are a lot of projects available. So one example is the Veterans Affairs Vista system. So it's an electronic health record system and also a system to manage your hospital. It was already initiated in the 1970s. It's meanwhile consisting of more than 160 integrated software modules. In the US, it's deployed at more than 2,500 sites, and more than 30 million patient records are stored within the software. There are also other projects. Another popular one, I would say, is Osirix. It was created by the University Hospital of Geneva. It's a DICOM viewer and really substantial image processing software for the Macintosh. There's also an FDA-cleared certified version available, so you're also allowed to use it in a clinical setting and to make diagnosis on the basis of the images you see through this DICOM viewer. It has more than 50,000 users and more than 200 official reference sites worldwide. Oscar McMaster is another example for an electronic medical record. It's very popular in Canada. In Ontario, it has a market share of 17%. More than 1,000 users or GPs are using it, and there are more than 8 companies that are offering professional service. We in Heidelberg, we already started our own projects. So at the moment, we are building, we are having a major project to build up a standard-based personal and electronic healthcare health record infrastructure for the Rhine-Neckar region. So something about 2 million patients should be able to store their data there, and all the doctors that are treating patients on integrated pathways should be able to access health data through those. And we have created, or we are developing, 2 projects, a consent management suite and also a provider and organization registry that we want to open source through the Open eHealth Foundation, which will I introduce a few minutes later. Okay, so this was meant just to show you that there are actually are major projects, more than many hundred of projects, and now we could just try to find some in the wild. So we would assume that we are now a doctor and we are searching for the software that we need for our current problem. So what can we do? Of course, we can ask our favorite search engine and enter the application type or so we are searching for there. But probably it will only reveal a few results. So the next thing is that, well, if we look for open source software, it's just clear that we can also take a look at the various code repositories that are out there. So at the moment, GitHub is the most popular one. So we can start searching 4.6 million projects and hope that we will find the projects we need for our healthcare application. Or we can go to SourceForge and take a look there. There are just 300,000 projects, and we can hope to find our project there. There are actually also a few databases of available medical floss applications. So the OpenLogic, OLEX OpenLogic Exchange lists about 529 projects. Open Health News has a small database which is just listing the projects. There are about 140 projects. Well, SourceForge has about 1,000 projects that are tagged with the tag medical science apps. And also at Wikipedia, there's a list of open source healthcare software. It has about 50 projects, but this changes as there are many people just entering any type of medical software there which isn't conformed to the definitions of free or open source software. Okay, so with the last slides, I just wanted to show the availability of projects isn't the problem. So what else could be the problem that Floss is not utilized in healthcare? Maybe it's just too complicated to compile it from source, and yeah, the users, they are just mainly doctors and maybe not so deep into IT, and they do not know how to build the binaries. But also this shouldn't be a problem. There are Linux distributions that are offering ready-to-run medical floss projects. So they're really own dedicated packaging team who create one-click install packages for popular Linux distributions. So Debian Med, OpenSUSE, Fedora. And also many projects are offering binaries at their homepage, so also for Windows or the Mac. But, well, what else could be a reason? Maybe the problem is that just nobody cares about it. There are also organizations that are working in this field. So there are working groups of professional societies. So the International Medical Information Association, the European one, the American one. There's also another one which is called the International Society for Telemedicine and eHealth. They all have now working groups for open source and healthcare, but they primarily focus at conferences where they try to group tracks, presentations or talks in a single track about open source and healthcare. And then you have a lot of discussions and the people are active and say, hey, yeah, this is a great thing. We have to do something and we have to change something. But when the conference is over, there are not so many people anymore that remain active and do something. And there are also non-for-profit organizations that are formed by companies and healthcare providers. So for example, the Open Health Tools, this is a primarily American organization, about 60 members. They have an own project, Forge, and are putting there their own projects. There's open the also the Open eHealth Foundation. It's a European one, so also the University Hospital of Heidelberg is a member there, and ICW from Waldorf. And they also have, or they start having projects. There's at the moment just a single one. It's the eHealth, Open eHealth Integration Platform, so a middleware to send messages. But yeah, they are having their project repository, and not they are not doing so much more. So again, back to the question, why is FLOSS not utilized? Maybe the problem is that the resources are scattered all over the information space, so it's really hard to have all the information you need for a decision and to deploy a project in one place. And yeah, this is mainly has been the reason why I created the MedFLOSS website. So until then, there has been no comprehensive repository available for FLOSS dedicated to health informatics. So it's the problem with it is that the comparability is not given. So if you have identified two projects that sound interesting, it's hard to check the actual facts. So which programming language are they using? Which software license do they use? Which functionality do they offer? And so this should be able to have it in a structured form and just to have it side by side and check what is better. Then it's also important that in case you see many projects that you are able to narrow them down and to have at the end just a few candidates between which you can choose. Then of course FLOSS also has nearly no lobby or marketing machinery, so there are no guys that are calling in the hospital and saying, hey, you know, I have great software here, do you want me to send you an offer and I really give you a discount or something like this. There isn't anything like this, so the users or the IT guys start using by themselves to get the software. And also original sources may lack detailed further information, like the number of deployments, but might also be convincing. If you know that this software is actually used in 50 other hospitals, you will not have so many doubts to introduce it in your own hospital. Or like reference sites which you can contact and ask about their experiences. Or professional service providers, or scientific publications. So doctors prefer to read some kind of publication that has been peer-reviewed so that they know that the information is okay that's written there. And yeah, this wasn't available from one source, and so that's why we created MedFLOSS. So here, the first paragraph is just our mission statement. So MedFLOSS is supposed or provides a comprehensive and structured overview of FLOSS projects in the domains of medical informatics and healthcare. It is an open information portal, which means that users can add and modify any content. Meanwhile, we have been forced to require that users register themselves because we have just got such big problems with spam. So by enabling registration, we do not have any problems with spam. Our main language is English, and we meanwhile also received requests, why can't you translate all the information also in French and Spanish? And I just wrote the people back and said, yes, of course we can do this. We are using Drupal, and it's no problem to offer also translated pages. The problem is we need someone who's able to speak this language and is able to check if this information is really okay and not just something stupid which is just off topic and makes the quality of information at MedFLOSS bad. And meanwhile, the website is provided in cooperation with certain working groups, with the Helmholtz Center in Munich, and with the University Hospital of Heidelberg. The information giving there is tagged in numerous categories. So like, for example, the application type, if it's a PACS system, picture archiving and communication system, a laboratory information system, a hospital information system. It's also tagged by enterprise function, so what you actually want to do with this type of software. So I need a software that is used for medication management or for billing or for record management, and then also the healthcare standards, like for example HL7 or DICOM. So meanwhile at madefloss.org we have 267 projects, more than about 90 professional service providers, so actual companies that are offering service for these projects, about 145 scientific publications, about 27 events, and more than 40 organizations and other resources that are stored there, and they are also interlinked. So if you are looking at a project, you also see in the bottom the professional service providers that are offering services for this project, and you also see the scientific publications that have been or that are available to get more information about this project. So now, just a small outlook. What's good for now? I would say that at the moment, it's one of the most comprehensive and complete information portals about medical floss. I would also say that it's well accepted. More than 44,000 unique visitors per month, and they are viewing about 14,000 pages. And we get various feedbacks in form of additions and corrections, so people sending in new projects, hey, can you add this project, or they are adding the projects by themselves, or they are saying, hey, you know, the links have changed, could you please update the site? And our roadmap, or what we plan for the future, is just to improve the user experience, because at the moment we are based on the on Drupal and a few plugins, and I think we can improve the UI a lot to make it much more easier to find the projects and the information you are looking for. We also want to integrate more data, so focus more on integrating also reference sites. The medical device class as a standard EMR system is no medical device, but and to see other projects like, for example, a DICOM viewer or something that is actually helping doctors in making their diagnosis, so they are in a quite high medical device class and they need to be controlled, and so that they just see, okay, this software is belongs to this medical device class. And then also some community metrics, so that you may know OLO, so that you can see if the community of this project is still active, if they are making commits to the code repositories. And another thing is also that we want to improve the quality of data to assure the up-to-dateness and to rework also the terminology. Well, that's it for Medfloss. Now let's get to the question that I was initially asking. Why is Medfloss not utilized in healthcare? So is Medfloss the cure for everything? Well, of course it isn't. It's just one means. And to give you a more complete picture, here are just a little bit more things here that you should bear in mind that are important to enforce the utilization of floss in healthcare. So it's not about that floss should be used for the doctors and for the IT guys, the functionality counts and not the type of licenses. The IT departments and the guys, they do not like migrations, and the users do not like new systems. They have quite limited resources, so normally if you have an open source or if you use an open source project on a broader scale, you also have to make your own developments, and normally the IT departments do not have enough staff members to do this. They also prefer to keep the number of vendors as high as needed and as low as possible. So they have those strategies which I showed here below, that they want to have a single vendor that sells them all the stuff they need. And now this is the next problem. Are there any professional service providers on the market? At least in Germany there aren't that many, or at least I'm not aware of them. And we need more professional service providers. And one of the key issues is that they have to care about responsibility and accountability. So as the IT departments do not want to be responsible for the software they are using, at the moment they are just buying all the support and the responsibility from commercial companies that are giving them proprietary products. And I think one thing that is really interesting is that with Floss you have for the first time the possibility to combine the best of breed and single vendor IT strategies. So to have the best products and get them from one single vendor as if you're an open source service provider, you can offer service for the best open source products that are available. So what else could be done? Well, we should continue to promote and discuss the usage of FLOSS in healthcare. It's also important to clarify the legal requirements, because when I put MedFLOSS online, it was also on Heise, and all the comments there have been, you can't do open source in healthcare. It's a medical product. It's not allowed. Just forget it. It's not compatible to healthcare, and this is just stupid. And this isn't true, because most of the medical software that is out there isn't considered to be a medical device. And it's also important, the commitment of the government and the healthcare sector, so to encourage and fund the utilization of FLOSS, to establish somehow a working ecosystem, and to assist also via a competence center. And, well, if you have your own project, or if you have your own company, you could just use MedFLOSS to present and promote your project or company, or to assist or help others with your experiences. Okay, so I'm coming to the end. So probably you know the idiom rocket science to say that something is overly complex, detailed, or confusing. Well, you know, even the NASA relies on FLOSS, so why shouldn't this work out for healthcare? Healthcare isn't that complicated. And MedFLOSS is just one means to address this issue, so you're welcome to join. Thank you very much.
So, hat noch irgendjemand irgendwelche Fragen?
Did you try to set up the software actually, to make a mock hospital or something like this?
Not really, because... Not really. I didn't try to set up the software. So you mean that there are so many software components?
Yeah, that you can see them in how they work together.
No, it's just a lack of time, I would say. And so we have our problems, and for these problems, we are looking for software. So for us in Heidelberg, it's mainly the middleware, the integration part, so message transfer and so on. There we are having software, and then we had student projects, and then they were playing around with some software. And yeah, but we do not have such a toolkit, but this was also an idea how to make any progress, yeah.
Okay, any other questions?
Yes, I have a few questions for you. First, during your study, did you meet a lot of applications that were web-based, that is to say, accessible by a web browser?
If the publications were free, open access, you mean?
No, applications for healthcare or patient care, applications used in hospitals, by example, that were web-based with a PHP server or something like this. Did you saw a lot of them?
Okay, I will just, because the voice is quite high. So you were asking if there are a lot of applications that are web-based for the hospitals.
Yes, that is my question.
Yeah, I think many of the open source products or projects are web-based. So there are very few that still have a native interface.
Okay.
And only in areas where they make sense. So, of course, image processing and so on, they have native interfaces, but for EMR systems or so, I would say that the majority is really web-based.
Okay. Then I have a second question. You spoke about unifying terminology. Unifying terminology to build, I suppose, some software. Can you tell us more about the effort about unifying terminology?
Unifying terminology, I was saying, or I was meaning in the context to how you describe the projects, because everyone uses some different words to describe their own projects, and then it's hard to understand or to compare those projects. And the efforts, is this what you're asking? Or this?
My effort is about format. You know, in many situations, in many business, we speak about format. And one of the many things we have to do is getting to synchronize ourselves with terminology, especially in software, in data exchange, it's about XML and OASIS, and you are aware. But in medical, around medical activity, I don't know if there are any efforts in it.
Yeah, there are many efforts, and that's the problem. So you have a lot of standards and terminologies and so on available. And there are attempts to unify it. I think the most important one to say is IHE, integrating the healthcare enterprise. So they want to try to take existing standards and terminologies and so on and to combine them and just describe how all the business processes in hospital are supposed to work. So they are doing this, but this has nothing to do with my efforts here or with this website. But they are there, and I'm trying to just reference these standards to say, okay, this project supports this and that standard. That's what I am doing, and the description of the project is used, or shall I use a unified terminology, but yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Any questions left? Okay.
Okay, thank you, Ron.
Hello, Herr Schmuel. I thank you very much. I think the interesting part, what I got out of this is the medical environment and the medical industry is possibly further away from the vision of an open minds economy than many other parts in the society.
Yes, right,
and you are kind of spearheading forward to get them there.
Yeah, at least trying so, yeah.
So thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
Bye-bye.